Father, thank you that you paid our debt. The debt we could never pay, we could never start to pay, and you paid it for us. Could there be a better theme song to think read than that? That Jesus paid it all. And because you paid it all and you gave it all and you sacrificed all, our only response can be, Lord, I surrender to you. Oh, praise the one who paid our debt and raised this life that was dead, that was headed towards hell itself. You raised it up from the dead to new life. Thank you for that truth this morning. God, would you speak to us by the power of your word in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have a copy of God's word, would you turn to Joshua chapter 4? Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, as we continue our series, Overcomer. I want to jump right in this morning. The things we talk about this morning often plague every one of us, no matter what stage of life you might be in. And that is simply this: we all tend to forget stuff all the time. Now, we have grocery lists, we have post-it notes, we have calendars, we have phones and iPads and computers. We got things that send us a reminder. You got an app that reminds you of everything, right? Latest gadget you've seen on TV, the refrigerator, that your kids can mark on the refrigerator the list of things you need that'll go to your smartphone. So you get to the grocery store, you just pull up their old refrigerator app, right? Even the lazy factor now, you got a refrigerator now, you just kind of, it goes like you can look into your refrigerator so you don't have to waste the whole energy to actually open the door, right? To remind you what's in there. We don't mean to forget, but we get unfocused, distracted, move on to something else bigger and better. Sometimes we just don't care, we grow apathetic, and we realize we forget more than we learn, right? Only had to watch the show Smarter Than the Fifth Grader and realize you have forgotten more than you ever learned, right? You remember that show that talked about that. Amnesia. What is amnesia? We're talking about spiritual amnesia, but amnesia in general is defined as a loss of a large block of interrelated memories. Sometimes it's a complete or partial loss. It might be caused by brain injury or shock. But it's that spiritual amnesia I want us to talk about this morning that causes us to forget some things that we know to be true, some things that we forget to apply to our lives or even walk away from, sometimes even completely forgetting that we are the Lord's. Now, we're coming off of summertime. A lot of us can develop that spiritual amnesia. It's definitely a part of the summertime. It affects us. It affects our routines that keep us connected. We have a tendency to slack up in our spiritual walk, vacations, lots of other things that can distract our attention and cause us to have spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia is plaguing the church like it never has before. The generation that is 18 to 29 is the most unchurched generation in history. Yet many of them have grown up in the church, but what happens? They go to school and they develop spiritual amnesia. It's not that they didn't know a lot of those things, but perhaps they haven't owned their faith or embraced their faith, or they had not allowed it to transform them, and many of them got amnesia. They forgot, as we do from time to time, the goodness of God, the love of God, the calling of God, of who and why and where and what about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, some of us might be tempted to say this morning, well, I don't get spiritual amnesia. I'm good. But the truth is, all of us suffer it from time to time. Some of us perhaps maybe more than others. But the great news is, whether you struggle with it a lot or just a little bit, I believe there is a cure. And the first cure is to be honest about where you are in your walk with the Lord. Now, I like to be honest. I love to have honest conversations. And so this commercial that's come out here lately that really have enjoyed, these Chase Bank commercials, right? You have conversations with people time to time. You leave wondering, what were they really thinking? What did they really mean, right? And so, do we have it yet, Chris? I'm jumping right up there. Not yet. I'm neglected. So I want to show you these commercials here in just a second. But sometimes we tend to not tell people what we're really thinking, right? So men, for example, we always get in this awful trap, right? Honey, how do I look? Okay, ladies, can I just give you a word of marriage advice just for free today? Don't ask us that question, please. Right? Just because that's wide open. Give us very specific. And don't ask this question either. Do I look fat in this dress? Because that's also a trick question. That is a black hole for a man. That is a, because of course we're going to say no. But the problem is if we say no, you're going to say, yes, it does. You're lying. Right? Or if we say, of course, we'd never say the other, right? Unless you're just stupid, right? You know, yep, that makes you look fat, honey. Take that off. You know, I just wouldn't wear that if I was you, right? We know better than to do those things, right? So we worried about being honest. So take a look at these commercials and see if maybe you've been in a spot like this before.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Welcome to the neighborhood. I brought you this pie to see if you're weird.
Wow, that smells intrusive.
It is.
Did you want to come in, maybe snoop around a bit?
That's why I'm here.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone said what they meant?
Ooh, I smell onions.
This is me, indicating to you that we're done.
That's great. I'm so relieved. I thought this was going to go on forever.
Thank you for barging in like that.
Yes. And if you need anything ever, work it out yourself.
Wouldn't it be great if everyone said what they meant? The Citi Double Cash Card does. Earn 1% cash back when you buy and 1% as you pay. Double means double.
Is that the only one? I like the other one. Do we have just that one? That's it. There's a couple others you need to see that I love. There's one, the superstar in the dressing room. They're kind of talking. I'm not really paying attention. She's talking. I'm not really paying attention to what you're saying, right? Now, here's what I wanted to do, and I didn't have time this week because we were so busy. I wanted to make a video of what it might look like when people walk out of the church and talk to the preacher, okay? Just what are you really thinking, right? And I don't always know what you're thinking, so please take these as funny because they're meant to be funny. If you don't take them as funny, then you just need to get a grip, okay? So here's the deal. Here's what it might look like. Wow, preacher, that was a timely message. Translated, good grief, that was a long one, you know? Thanks, preacher, I needed that. Like I needed another hole in my head. That really touched me. Why are you secretly reading my text or my email so you could know what to preach on? Maybe you run out the door and you're thinking, oh Lord, I hope the preacher doesn't stop me and ask me what my name is for the fourth time. That really stepped on my toes, preacher. Translated, you need to butt out of my business. My favorite, I'll remember that. By the time I get to my car, I'll have forgotten everything you said because I really wasn't paying attention because I needed to caught up on my calendar for the week and my emails and social media because I woke up late. And so thanks for the quiet time to do that. Right, now I know you're never thinking of those things, but sometimes we need to be honest to really know where we are so we can get to where we need to be. Now, nobody I've ever heard walk out the door intentionally and says, well, preacher, listen, thanks for sharing those words. Life group leader, thanks for sharing that information with me. But my hope and goal is by the time I get to in lunch to forget everything that you told me. And my goal, as a matter of fact, is I don't really want to apply anything I've heard, and I want to make sure my children, so we're going to talk about not anything we learned at church. We're going to make sure we don't talk about that at all in our house, right? Nobody does that intentionally, right? Obviously to say that, but the reality is because of life, by the time we get out the door, some of you are going to have emails waiting. You're going to have somebody that's texted you that forgot you were in church at this time frame, right? Somebody that needs something from you. There's a grocery list. Some of you are thinking about where I got to go. And so we're bombarded with information all the time. So we develop amnesia just like that. So what are some things that cause us to have amnesia? Well, there's a lot of things. I've just mentioned some of them. Distractions. We have so much information, so much to do. We seem to be so busy. Difficult circumstances can cause us to have amnesia. Illnesses, bad, difficult times, suffering can cause us to forget who God is and what God is doing in our life. When we get disconnected from the body many times and from the Lord, we can develop spiritual amnesia. When we become a distance of time and space, we can develop amnesia. When we have doubt and disappointment, we get derailed by sin, we get depleted by life. All these things and others can cause us to develop spiritual amnesia. And in those moments, we tend to forget who we are, whose we are, where we came from, where we're going, and where we've been. And we get off our mission of what God has for us. And in case we think that this is some brand new disease that just popped up in the 21st century, the reality is it's been around for thousands and thousands of years. We can go all the way back to creation. But I want to take us back to the times of the Israelites as they're coming out of the land of Egypt and they're in this wilderness experience and God reminds them over and over and over again. Multiple times, just in one book of the Bible, much less alone other times he spoke to them. Listen to what he says in these words, Deuteronomy 4:9. Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and grandsons. Deuteronomy 4:23. So watch yourselves, same chapter, watch yourselves that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he made with you, and you made for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against the Lord which your God has commanded you. Deuteronomy 6:12-13. Then watch yourself that you do not what? Forget the Lord who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The next one in Deuteronomy says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Why? Listen to the distractions. When you have eaten Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built a good house and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Affluence. We're going to talk about in a few weeks how to overcome affluence, because God knew then, He knows now, that sometimes our affluence can cause us to forget God and have to overcome what God has given us. Others, the rest of the scripture won't take time to read, but the bottom line is we must not forget. We need the same kinds of warnings. Now, here's some good news. We know we forget, as if you need that reminder, right? We know we forget. But here's a great reminder, maybe sometimes that we don't forget, that God doesn't get spiritual amnesia. God doesn't forget, even though we forget on a regular basis. Deuteronomy 4, 30, verse 30 and 31 says, "For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them." What a promise, isn't it? Boy, claim that one right there. Notice there's no qualifiers on that. If you do this, when you do that, it says God will not forget you. Now, I know about you, I've forgotten God before. I've forgotten who I am from time to time. I've developed spiritual amnesia from time to time. But God never forgets me. The only thing he forgets, here's even better news. The only thing God forgets, you know what he forgets? You might want to guess what it is. Our sin. That's it. He washes it white as snow. The Bible says in Psalms that he throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now here's a good question. When does the east ever meet the west? It doesn't, does it? God forgets. As far as high as the highest heights to the lowest depths of the ocean, God casts our sin. We remember it. We remember other people's sins. But God says, I forget. The one thing we wish somebody would forget would be our sins. And God says, if you confess it, I will forgive it and I will forget it. God doesn't develop spiritual amnesia like we do. I want us to give us some cues we find and some marks that we find about how we can overcome amnesia. We find some of these markers in the book of Joshua chapter 4 as Joshua is encouraging the nation of Israel as they come into the promised land that will help us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, even physically, that we find right here. Let's read what it says in Joshua chapter 4 beginning in verse number 1. Here's what it says. "Now it came about when all the nations had finished crossing the Jordan River that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, saying, Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder.'" That's a big one. "According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel, let this be a sign, a mark, an anchor among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall say to them, 'Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever.' And thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who had carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day." Now, skip down to verse 21. "And he said to the sons of Israel, 'When your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, "What are these stones?" In other words, God knew the nation of Israel and the next generation would develop amnesia. They would forget. It was a guarantee. What does he say? "Then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to us in the Red Sea, when he dried it up before until we had crossed, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" There that day, they set up two sets of stones, one inside the Jordan River, one on the outside, to remind them, these memorial stones, these spiritual markers, one that was maybe for a family itself, one from each tribe, to remind them and paint a picture of what God had done. Because God knew, as we know, that we will forget. And we can have all kinds of memorial stones and markers, and I have them, and maybe you have them as well. I have them all over my office. I have a set of things in my house that are from mission trips I've been on. Things that remind us of important moments in our lives. I have my Bible that my dad wrote in when I was 7 years old, and I have that, I use that every time a child comes in my office to remind them. People say, well, how do you know when you found Christ? Because my dad set down a spiritual marker, a memorial stone to remind me of the day when I trusted Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. I have other things from all kinds of countries, from Kazakhstan, and I have Bibles, and I have swords, and I have the pottery. I just have all kind of a set of hand-carved chess set that I got from Kazakhstan. I've just all kinds of things that I've been able to gather that are reminders of where I've been and what God has done. We wear reminders, a wedding ring on your hand, an altar for me, significant for me. It was there that I came and knelt before the Lord and gave my heart and life to Him. I asked my wife to marry me at an altar in a church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Altars are significant moments and places for me. They're reminders of who God is and what God has done on my behalf, and reminds me of who I am. We need those markers to help remind us of who God is and who we are. I want to give you a couple of things as we close this morning that will help us, to give you some markers along the way to help us when we get spiritual amnesia. Here they are. The first one is this: to stay grounded. To stay grounded. Proverbs 3, verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Stay grounded. Stay grounded in what? Well, in who you are, who God is, but also stay grounded in the past, the present, and the future. Now, Philippians chapter 3 and 13 and 14 remind us of this truth. This is what's funny, though. Watch what this says, though. This tells us to forget something. And sometimes it says, don't forget something, but forget something. The Bible might seem confusing on this point, so let's talk about this for a moment. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, what? I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus in my life. So what does he say? We're supposed to forget the past. What does he mean by that? Is we forget everything that ever happened to us in the past? The answer is no. We forget the past of the things that we want that cause regret. But what do we know about the past? It helps keep us grounded. We learn from the past. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from the moments. We learn that God is faithful. So when we look back, we get that 20/20 vision. When we look back and we go, oh, God, that's what you were doing. I didn't see it then, but I see it now. So we need those reminders that remind us of God and who he is and what he's done on our behalf. So we need those spiritual markers of the past. We need them in the present too. Because the present, man, it bombards us constantly of that God is with us and God is there and God desires to have that relationship with us and desires that with us. So we have to stay grounded in who we are, knowing all the while that we have a place to go. Our ultimate destination is heaven. There is a future for us there. But even God, if he chooses to leave you here, there is something God has in store for you. And it's not just to take up space. It is not just to take up air on planet Earth. God has you there for a mission. Every Bible I write in for our kids, accept Christ as Savior and Lord, here's what I write in there. I write in every one of them. I know that the Lord has a plan for your life. And I can hardly wait to see how that works in and how he works in and through you. I don't care if you're 85 or if you're 5, God has a plan for you. But in order to stay, not get that amnesia, we have to stay grounded in who we are. We're reminded of staying grounded of God's power in these markers, God's provision, God's protection, God's presence, and his purpose and plan for our lives. Notice the second one, only stay grounded. Don't forget who you are. Secondly, stay connected. Stay connected. I can't overestimate this. Most of you say, well, preacher, of course you're going to mention this, but I can't overemphasize its importance because our culture and our schedules de-emphasize it. Our flesh de-emphasizes it, right? Some of us this morning, that old alarm clock hit, and it was not a praise the Lord, it's morning. It's good Lord, it's morning, right? How is it already morning? I don't even want to hear you tomorrow morning when that alarm goes off, right, for some of you. Kiddos, right? The reality is that we must be connected. And here's what the enemy wants to do to you. He wants you to be disconnected. We talked about 2 weeks ago, overcoming our adversary. One of the adversary's greatest tools in America today is to keep the church disconnected. Right? And we're going to talk more about this fall, about what it means to be really deeply connected, to really have community. What that really means, not just in space and just being around each other, being next to each other, but actually doing life together. Hebrews reminded us a long time ago about this warning. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, right? And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you're going to get amnesia, you need people around you who will help you when you do get amnesia to remind you of the truth, right? To remind you of the reality of who you are and where you're going and what God has done on your behalf. Life groups, right? We've tried to do these life groups with great intentionality. We do this material, the journey. We picked it out purposely, not accidentally. And at times, the journey has been a little bit repetitive, right? This month, we've jumped back in the Holy Spirit again. We jumped back on the kingdom of God again, right? And we're going, good grief, we already talked about this. But here's the reality. Some of us have forgotten long ago what we learned 6 weeks ago, right? And the purpose and intentionality of staying connected together is so that you can connect with somebody else to share what you've learned. See, our problem is we have, and I'm just going to use this, and excuse me for being crude, I don't mean it to be, but a lot of Christians in this room and others have spiritual constipation. That'll bless you right there, won't it? That'll be a good video right there, right? What do you mean? Some of you have learned lots about the Lord, but you never share with anyone. You've never, ever opened the Bible, or some of you say, how do you follow Christ? This is how you do it. So we've just devoted this entire year to trying to give the most important things, scriptural things, doctrinal things, things about the church, things about Jesus, that you would know them with confidence so that you can in turn share them. But if you're not connected, you won't have those experiences, and you'll be more likely to develop spiritual amnesia. It's kind of like this. Brain surgeons, neurosurgeons will tell people, neurologists, they'll tell older folks, listen, make sure that you continue to stimulate your brain. You know why? They want you to work. I'm going to be in trouble because I don't do any of these things. I'm going to find something else. But do this Sudoku, however you call that thing, the little number dilly bob things. Whoever makes that up is just crazy, right? And then you got the little crossword puzzles, right? The ones that are missing letters on purpose, for you're supposed to figure that out somehow, and these words, who's ever heard of them? But you're supposed to do all these things, right? What? Because we have a tendency as we get older to quit learning, right? We tend to kind of let it go a little bit. The challenge is, spiritually speaking, is the same. We quit learning. We just say, well, I kind of know most of the stuff I need to know. I've kind of just got a little bit, folks. It's never enough. We've got to stay connected to the body. Stay connected. We're going to do this too, moms and dads. By the way, how many of you remember, I forgot to bring it up here. That's pretty appropriate. I won't blame it on my ADHD, but I forgot to bring it up here. My marbles. You ever remember how many marbles I had when I did that message a couple of months ago? Do you remember? Anybody? 900 how many? Who said it? 936. Very good. Some of us downloaded that awesome app we had that made us all cry. Some of y'all got really tearful. You remember how many weeks it'll be till your kids graduate? Since I did that last, we've gone about another 12 weeks you've lost, just in case you're wondering, to make you sad again. The beginning of a new school year, seniors, moms, and dads, the year of crying, tears, and angst, right? Some of you that are freshman parents, it's like, I survived, thank God, right? We download an app to remind you what? Of investing in your kids, spiritually speaking, right? So that what they learn back there, you'll have to have during the week. We want to partner with you to help you stay connected and not develop spiritual amnesia, nor your children. And so we're going to develop a page. I don't know, we haven't quite yet. We'll have a page that's got all of our, what we call take-home resources. The God Times for kids, the preschool connect for preschool age. For students, Chris will be popping up as they do their Wednesday night messages. They'll have ones for students as well. Students, you're going to be pumped about that because some of your moms and dads, students are already on their apps looking at them already right now. Or Clash of Clans, either one. And so anyway, You don't think I noticed you, but I noticed you right there. It's hard to miss you. But anyway, so parents, relax. Don't ask me who it was. I'm not going to tell you. It's just the second, third, and fourth rows. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I love you guys. I just want you not to miss this. So here's the deal. So some of your kids, your teenagers, I want you to hear this because your mom and dad are going to ask you questions. I'm like, why are you asking me questions, right? Now, mom and dads, don't ask this question, right? Here's my mom's dreaded question. We got home from a dance, right, at school, and here was her question. Well, honey, this is like 1 o'clock in the morning, right, or 12 o'clock at night. Well, honey, who was there? The school? I mean, do you really want to name every person that was at the dance? So, parents, we're not giving you those kind of questions. Well, what did you learn at church? And so your student's going to respond, help me, students. Jesus, right? Good. God or the Holy Spirit, right? And if back in my day, I was children, we just said the Holy Ghost, right? Because we didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. We called it the Holy Ghost, right? So that's the answers, right? So we're going to give you things to know so you know what they're doing. So you can help partner together, because here's what we know. You have a lot more time with them than we do. So we're going to give you resources to help you do that, to have conversations. Why are you giving your preschooler a bath? Why are you riding in the car to school? When you're getting up in the morning, when you're going to bed at night. And adults are going to give you the same thing. We're going to provide some questions and things you can discuss as a couple or as a boyfriend, girlfriend, or adult questions from the message, and anybody can access them to further take what we're learning. So it doesn't just stay here. We got to stay connected. We got to stay grounded. Third, we got to stay focused. Focused on what? God's calling on our lives. What is it? Mark 12:28. He says it. Guy asks him, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? What does he tell him? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Stay focused. We have a tendency to get so distracted about what's important. We develop the amnesia. Stay focused on loving God with everything that you are and loving your neighbor. Stay connected. Stay grounded. Stay focused. Thirdly or fourthly, stay abiding. Stay abiding in the word and in prayer. John 15 reminds us to stay connected to the vine. Who is the vine? Jesus Christ. We overestimate how important, or rather underestimate how critical us reading the word and, as Tessa shared, praying is. Again, one way the enemy helps you get amnesia is you forget to get in the word of God and you forget who God is and what he's done on your behalf. We forget. We must not forget. Fourthly, stay desperate. Stay desperate. We're going to talk about this. This is one of our marks. And I hope it's one that asks you and you're thinking to yourselves, what in the world does stay desperate mean? Well, here's what I know about the truth. Did you do anything to earn or make God love you or have salvation? Anything you could have done to have done that? Of course, you know the answer is absolutely not, right? There's nothing that you and I have done that could have done that. Now, here's the problem. What makes us think sometimes that we can, once we are saved, that it all depends on us? Salvation depends solely on God, but so does sanctification, which means making us more like Jesus. So what does it mean to be desperate? Moses talked about this in Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. Listen to what Moses said to God. He said, in my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And here's what Moses said. Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. But yet sometimes I do it. Maybe you don't, but I do. I will charge headlong into something and then stop and think later. Oh man, is this where God wanted me to be? Did I pray with this before I got here? May we be people in our lives that are so desperate, knowing that if we don't depend on God, we can't do it. We can't make it. Right? I want to constantly live on there as on the edge as a church. That we're always on this edge of, God, if you don't come through, we're not going to be able to do this. Thursday was one of those days. I mean, it was one of those days, holy cow, that I couldn't applaud our congregation enough, our church family, all those volunteers that came from our community to help us. We were on the edge. Who would have thought 438 people would have showed up at the door? I did preacher high, I thought, 250. We slightly missed that estimate. Somebody asked me, well, how are y'all paying for all this stuff? Finance committee, just close yours a minute, okay? I said, I have no idea. I just so firmly believe this is what God has called us to do. Because one of the callings, I believe, when God got me here, is this church, and I want to be kind, If this church's doors had closed 6 years ago, I'm not sure hardly anybody would have noticed. Well, that's a harsh statement to make. One of my prayers would be this, and people ask it from time to time, if your church closed its doors, would your community even notice? And I say today the answer is, not pridefully, but dependently, yes. They would notice. Praise God, right? They would know. Why? Because this body, I pray, will stay desperate. I walk upstairs to that second floor and I show people the second floor. People go, wow, look at this second floor. If you don't know, we had a second floor. It's 11,000 square feet of empty space. Good news, good news. If you have today, you can put in the offering basket. We just need a cool $750,000 to finish it. No big deal. If you got it in your bank account, write it out. And just about $1.9 million in debt that we got to pay off for the rest of the building. No worries. But you know what? We're going to stay on the edge. It'd be a lot safer and a lot easier. And it's a lot easier to pastor a dying church. You sleep a lot more, you worry a whole lot less, and you're not near as tired. But I can't pastor a church like that. I don't think God wants us to be like that. I think God wants us to be living constantly in this mode of desperation. Oh God, if you don't come through. Oh God, if you don't come through in the month of August in our offerings, the finance team is going to take the preacher out behind the woodshed and say, what are you doing? Desperation. You know what it makes me do? Pray a whole lot more. Desperate. Lastly, stay aware. Stay aware of what? We need repetition. Right? Now, most of us don't like repetition. I don't. Because repetition sometimes is what? What is it? Tell me. It's boring, right? Who wants to hear the same thing over and over and over again? But if you read through the New Testament, you read through God's Word, you know what you'll find? A lot of repetition. So all of our teaching and all the stuff they learn, you know what? One of the things they know, you got to do it repetition. The ABCs. You go to kindergarten this year, kindergarten, be excited. You're going to talk about the ABCs until you know them. And you're going to color a sheet, and you're going to walk around the room and spell out an A, and write an A, and color an A, and say an A. And like for 2 weeks, you're going to do A. And then good news, week two, you're going to jump to B. The Word of God is very similar, and that it repeats. Why? Because He knows we forget. And here's the other kicker, and I close with this. The church is always one generation away of closing its doors. And that's now more evident than ever in our history as a nation. God promises in Philippians 1:6 that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. That's a great promise. Be aware of that promise. But secondly, Psalm 78. I don't have time to read it all because our time is done this morning. But here's the deal. He says, when the people forget, remind them of who God is. Now, moms and dads, listen to me carefully. If you develop spiritual amnesia, who's going to remind your kids of who God is and what God has done? Well, that's the church's job. It is partially, I would agree, but not completely. I'm almost done. Hang tight. Don't miss this moment. We want to do our very best to do that as a church family, but more than that, we want to equip you as moms and dads, grandparents, to have those conversations about moments that God came through in a big way. That's why I want you to bring your kids tonight to pray. Why bring my kids to pray? They really understand. They might understand today, but they'll understand years from now. The importance of praying. The importance of praying as a family. The importance of God's answered prayer. I hope you talk about the things that God has done in your life personally. We've prayed this as a family, and look what God has done. Look how God has provided. Look how God has been faithful. But sometimes moms and dads, we get amnesia too often, and so we forget to tell our kids. So let me encourage you, moms and dads, this morning. Let me encourage you Make it a priority to make sure your kids don't get spiritual amnesia. I don't want them to be the stat of 18 to 29-year-olds who hit the door of the church, and at 18 we lose them. You know why, students? You know why? Let me tell you something. Our staff's going through a book this fall called Growing Young as a Congregation. And I want to brag on our students for a minute. I threw you under the bus a minute ago, so let me brag on you. A lot of our students on Thursday served in yeoman's ways. I watched 7th graders and 9th graders take adults and walk them through our building and serve. Students, listen to me. You're not the next generation. You're the now generation. And we need you now. Churches that are growing young are the churches that are impacting their communities in amazing ways. And I'm talking about ages 15 to 29. We're going to begin some new things in the years to come that helps us target your age group. Not that we're forgetting the others, because we're certainly not kids and preschoolers. All those are very important. But we want you students to know that you are vital. And we need you to not only absorb, but also to serve. You have a lot to give. Spiritual amnesia, what do we do? How do we stay it off? We stay connected, we stay grounded, we stay focused, we stay abiding, we stay desperate, and we stay aware. There's a story told several years ago. There was a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occurred, and so a few people created a life-saving station. The building was no more than a hut. There was only one boat, but a few devoted members kept constant watch. With no fault for themselves, they went out night and day searching for those that had been in shipwrecks, tirelessly looking for the lost. Some of those were saved, and in surrounding areas wanted to be associated with the station. They were impressed by it, and so they began to give their money and time and effort to support the work. New boats were bought. New crews were trained. The life-saving station began to grow, and some of the new members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building became so crude and poorly equipped, so they felt they provided a more comfortable place for people they rescued off the sea, to come to a more comfortable building. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged building, and now it became a very popular gathering place for its members. Decorated it beautifully and furnished it exquisitely because they began to sort of use it as of a club. Fewer members were now interested in going to sea on a life-saving mission, so they hired lifeboat crews to do the work for them. The life-saving motif still prevailed all throughout the club's decor, but there was a memorial lifeboat room where the club initiations were held. About that time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, half-drowned people. They were dirty and some sick, and some of them were foreigners, and the beautiful new club was all of a sudden in chaos. Immediately, the property committee rigged up someone to put a shower outside the club where victims and shipwrecks could be cleaned up before coming inside the building. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership because most of the members decided we need to stop this club's life-saving activities because they felt the people that brought in were kind of a hindrance to the social life of the club. A small number of members insisted upon the life-saving as their primary purpose and pointed out they were still called a life-saving station. The small group of members were voted down and told if they wanted to save lives, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And they did. As the years went by, however, the new station experienced the same changes that occurred at the old station. It evolved into a club and repeated itself until eventually there was no life-saving station. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the passengers drowned. Can I commend you, Petal First Baptist Church? I watch people out there, I talk to many of them, walk into a life-saving station. And the carpets might get a little bit messed up. And the building may be a little bit used. May we never forget, dear friends, that we are called to be a life-saving station, not a clubhouse. I'm thankful to pastor a church that believes that to be true. But remember, may we never forget it. May we never forget it. Father, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. Lord, forgive us because we do forget. And Lord, we don't mean to, we don't intend to, we really don't even want to, but we do. And so, God, we just are honest with you this morning. as you ask us to be, as we talked about in that commercial. We don't need to pretend and play games with you or with anybody else for that matter. We say to you, Lord, we confess that we forget. But God, the great news is you don't forget, and you love us and you care for us and you provide for us and you call us to remember who you are, to remember your faithfulness, to remember our call to share the next generation of who you are and what you've done on our behalf. And that without you, we are nothing. I'm nothing. Our church is nothing. Our family is nothing without desperately depending upon God to come through. Lord, I pray that we would not forget. They would stay connected, we stay grounded, we stay aware, we stay abiding, we would stay focused. I pray for any person this morning as we close and come to a time of invitation that has never trusted Christ as Savior and as Lord. Lord, that you would call them to yourself and they would simply pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord, I admit to you I'm a sinner, that I've missed the mark of perfection. And I ask you today to forgive me of all of my sins, past, present, and future. And today I believe that you are the Son of God, that you love me, that you died for me, that you gave yourself up for me, and you rose again on my behalf. And today I confess you as my Savior, that I cannot save myself, that you have to save me. Lord, I commit my life to you as the boss of my life, and I will follow you the rest of my days. I pray for any person who prayed that prayer and you had them here today just for that moment. They would come and find Josh or Chris or myself by the hand and say, I prayed that prayer, or I wanted to pray that prayer and I didn't. I want to know Jesus today. I don't want to leave this building without knowing for certain that I have made peace with God. For others to come and join this church family and say, you know what? I want to be a part of this life-saving station. I want to jump in with both feet and I want to serve and I want to be a part of helping reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ and even to the ends of the earth. For others to come this morning and pray over your child with their backpack. You want to take them to the altar and pray over them over this school year, that they won't have amnesia, that you won't get amnesia. Maybe for others who've made a profession of faith but never made it public, maybe during Kid Extreme Week, maybe during youth camp, maybe 3 years ago or 10 years ago, you've never been baptized, I encourage you to come this morning. God, may we be obedient in these moments that you call us to. And thank you that you wait with open arms to welcome us into your family. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand.